Will you turn in your Bibles, please, to Philippians, the last chapter? And we've come to this section where the apostle says, finally, my brethren. And in this final exhortation, he sets before us a very comprehensive pattern for Christian thought and edification. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. There's more to preaching the gospel than just telling a man he must be born again. After he has been born again, then the presentation of all that the Bible presents or contains to us for our conduct is our responsibility. The Christian is a born-again individual, but as a born-again individual, he thinks certain thoughts and he does certain things. And consequently, we're constantly saying that the believer is the salt of the earth. The believer is the light of the world. We are light shining in the world. And the Christian life is a daily and momentary glorious dependence upon God and a determination on our part to follow His will. And what we have in this summary which the apostle has given us at the close when he says, finally, my brethren, is a beautiful presentation of the standard of the law of God for us. The law of the Lord is perfect. And this is just a different way. You read the book of Proverbs, and you have the law of God all through Proverbs and all these different areas. But all you have to do is to notice the words that he uses here, and you see the Ten Commandments. Whatsoever things are honest, thou shalt not bear false witness. Whatsoever things are pure, thou shalt not commit adultery. These exhortations at this point, all of them are related to the law of God, which is the standard of our Christian conduct. In fact, that's what you run through all through the Bible. You run into it everywhere you turn in the Bible. After you become a Christian, how am I going to live? After I've been saved, what am I going to do? After I found the Lord, how does the Lord want me to live? And so all through the Bible, you come back to the fact that the Christian who now has the grace of God to sustain him and the power of God to give him what he needs to serve the Lord, you come back to this marvelous revelation that God wants us to keep and to honor his law. His name is to be exalted in our lives and in our conduct. And I've tried to explain this to you. We've got a whole section in our own Confession of Faith, the Westminster Confession, and the larger catechisms, a whole section dealing with the exposition of the great standard of righteousness, which is the law of God. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day long. That's what the psalmist said. And so as those who serve the Lord, we love him, we believe his Son redeemed us, and here we are in the midst of struggle and strife and sin and death and disaster. Here we are down here on the earth, and we're to honor the Lord in our living and by what we do. Now, last week, as I moved into this section, I dealt just with that one word, whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are true. And I opened that up by way of some detail by pointing out that the first thoughts that we should have are the thoughts concerning God. He is true. The second thoughts we should have are the thoughts concerning His Son. He is true. The third thoughts we should have are thoughts concerning God's Word. The Word is true from the beginning. And this exhortation unquestionably involves the first commandment and the second commandment of the Decalogue. And we're to think on these things. We're to develop these thoughts. We're to rejoice in all that God's given us as a people. We've got more wonderful things to think about than we will ever be able to fully understand or comprehend. But we're the people of God, and we're here to think the thoughts of God after Him in order that we might be like the Lord and enjoy His holiness and be partakers of His grace. Now, I think that I'll limit myself this morning to this one word, honest, because when you get into a study of these matters, you find out there's all a wealth of exhortation in the Bible about it, and there's a broad field of our responsibility in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatsoever things are honest, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, you think on the things which are honest. And the word which is translated here, honest, is a very, there are several words in the New Testament translated honest, and they are related to each other somewhat, but this one is the one that has the highest sense of respect, that which is to be revered, that which is honorable, that which is of the highest esteem. Whatsoever is honest in that highest sense, you meditate and you think on these things. Now, before we turn to some of the passages here in the New Testament that develop this line of thought for us, I want you to turn with me back to the first book in the Bible, the sixth chapter of Genesis. And I want to develop with you the contrast that we're facing in this matter of the occupancy of our thoughts and of our mind. Here we have in Genesis 6 the pronouncement of judgment and the bringing in of the flood and the destruction of the human race. God destroyed man. And in verse 5 you read, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowl of the air, and it repented me that I have made them." God destroyed the human race, and with man went the beast and the fowl and all these elements which are directly related to him in God's creation. But he did it because God saw that the wickedness of men was great. And this wickedness concerned every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. And it says, a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And wickedness is out of the heart. The heart of man is deceitful above all things, and it is desperately wicked. And who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. And what Paul is giving us here in Philippians is the other side. It is the Christian now who comes to see that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart are not evil, but they're good. And beloved, if you're going to change society, you have to first deal with the hearts of the people who make up that society. And it's right at this point that you and I are facing the great conflict within our own country. We're witnessing the ecclesiastical leaders and the liberal movement trying to change society by its regulations in order to control men so that the people will do what they want them to do. That's not God's program. That's not the way of the Scriptures. The way of the Scripture is that through the preaching of the gospel, men become new creatures in Christ Jesus. And then with a new heart, they can think upon the things which are true and which are honest and which are just and which are pure and which are of good report. And out of these thoughts, and out of the mind that's filled with the understanding of the love of God, you will develop men and women who will have character. And they will put their loyalty to truth and their loyalty to God above all the temptations of filthy lucre and all the temptations that come out of the pride of a corrupted heart. And consequently, it is the preaching of the gospel and then the offering of the standards of morality which we have in the Bible, which we must have if we're going to have a society which will be responsible to the great revealed will of God. God saw the imagination of the hearts of men, that it was only evil continually. And it is one of the great realities of this present day that the hearts of men today are just filled with evil. Filth, dishonesty, crookedness, scheming, bribery, all of this sort of thing that's abounding. Crimes on the increase, juvenile disobedience and defection here and there. And we see it. Even our own governor this past week said they were going to have to do more about this so far as the state is concerned. And when the church fails, and when the home fails, and when this gospel fails to work its power and to change the hearts of people and to give us the kind of citizens who will love righteousness, then the state has to come in with its police power over the people to try to conform them and make them submit to the desire of the state just to have good order in a community. Oh, beloved, when you see it, when you see what the Apostle Paul is talking about here, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things, he says here, are honest, whatsoever things here are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, you spend your time thinking on these things. Let them occupy your mind. Put them about you so that your mind will not be tempted to fall down into these lower levels of the corruption of the human nature, and you seek to satisfy yourself by such wickedness. God saw the wickedness of man. He saw that the heart of man and its imagination was only evil continually, and he says, that man is a man that I must remove. And he sent the flood in judgment, and he destroyed man because of his sin. Now let's turn back to the passage which we have. Whatsoever things are honest. And let's just turn to some of the other parallel passages in the New Testament that deal with this. Let's turn to the Epistle to the Romans, the 12th chapter. Also the 13th chapter. And see what the Apostle is speaking here in these matters of exhortation. In the 12th chapter he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't you think the thoughts of this world. Don't you go the way the world is going. But be ye transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind.
Beloved, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, you think on these things. And when you have become a child of God, your mind needs to be renewed. And so he proceeds here, this is your reasonable service. And he says, it you will be able to prove that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Then you move on down with these other exhortations that he has to give us here, and we come to verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. If some man does you an evil deed, the temptation is to turn around and do him a little worse than he did you. Don't you do it. Then he says in the next verse, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Whatever you do as a Christian, remember that vengeance is mine, I will repay. Vengeance belongeth unto the Lord. And then the Lord says, you go your way and you provide the things which are honest in the sight of all men. Now move down to the 13th chapter of this epistle to the Romans, and we're in the great section in which the apostle is laying down the practical exhortation for the church and for the individual Christian. And he says in verse 13, well, let's begin with verse 12. The night is, and let us put on the armor of light. Now if you're a Christian, and you've taken the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, the night's far spent. You cast off the works of darkness. Instead, you put on the armor of light. You put out and you honor the Lord in being absolutely honest and truthful in your relationships with them that are abroad and them who are on the outside. Then the apostle goes on in verse 13. Let us walk honestly. Bible in these matters. And isn't it interesting how it just fits? They go into the closet or the dark or they meet somewhere. And he says, let us walk as in the day, not in drunkenness, not in chambering and in wantonness, not in strife and in envyings. Put ye Jesus Christ and make not provision for the lust thereof. You've been saved by the Son of God. Now you put on the Son of God, which is our great and glorious righteousness. And in him we have all these treasures of righteousness. And it's in Jesus Christ that we find this great desire to be clean and honest and to be holy. You put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me stop here before I develop some of these other thoughts, because when you unfold a sermon like this, and your mind is following my mind as I develop it, there's questions that come, and here's one of the biggest questions that runs into people's mind. The temptation to be dishonest is a great temptation. Because by being just a little shady, you can get some deep. God will honor you, and God will provide for you, and God will take care of who you think are fine leaders in the church. They're disassess providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. We are to provide in all of our relationships things which are just honest. Gene Carson Blue Church made a number of on more and more. That is leadership way out beyond use. Bible reading, the Ecclesiastes against amending the youth in the to have a different of the ministry of Jesus Christ. The older people of it, and for preacher's salary. And then we flew north up through Ogden, up into that beautiful Snake River country they call it. Beautiful, perfect days, evening mountains all up through. Idaho's just full of the mountains. They said, we're starting the meeting at 8 o'clock. And
They took me over to a little place called Meridian, just outside, to listen to this church service. And after the wonderful people, so many young couples, it's a cow country out there, sheep country. It's a beautiful land. But these people, all of them, are concerned about what's happening. And one man said, we got a preacher over here in the first minute. And I heard the story. By the way, they gave great rank and file in a wonderful area of this country. People who love America, who love the Bible, it's gone off after these other things. And it's tragedy in this country. The next evening, I flew over. They didn't know what to expect in Portland, but they'd gotten a high school auditorium and went in there, and we had 20. But what happened there? The Council of Churches. And when I arrived at the airport, they showed it to me. The pronouncement was to witness extreme ultra. That's what they gave out when I arrived. Well, I think it, in fact, I'm sure it helped our meeting. It gave us a much broader. Said last night, they come and say, you're defrocked. For what reason? They don't tell anybody. They don't intimate anything. You just an awful thing for which they threw you out. And they say you violated an ordination vow. Oh, that must be terrible. Beloved, the folks who are violating ordination vows are these men who are staying in pulpits who took ordination vows when they don't believe what the Bible teaches about itself or about the virgin birth. But that's what they get. And what happens now is you go around and they throw mud in your face, and then they turn around and say, look, he's dirty. He's dirty. He's got mud all over. They threw it, and they're calling you dirty. But, beloved, that is part of the tactic that you have at the present time, whereby these men at the top are seeking to keep the people in the pews who haven't been consolidated yet from actually waking up and finding out what's taking place so far as this gospel ministry is concerned in this country. Oh, beloved, whatsoever things are honest, let's get to the heart of integrity before God. You know, I'm very happy to notice the order of this in this epistle. Whatsoever things are true, that's God, that's His Word, and that's His Son. What does He put next in the order? Whatsoever things are honest, you've got to maintain that truth in all integrity. Here's the truth, beloved. And we say the Son of God is the way, the truth, and the life. This doesn't change. The message of redemption isn't going to change. And yet we're told today that we're in the midst of change and we must adjust ourselves to the changing day and the changing climate. And all of that is just a ruse to cover up the dishonesty that's involved, whereby we depart from that which is true and claim we haven't departed. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Now, next Sunday, by the grace of God, I'm going to take the little word just. It's dikaios, which means righteous. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. I think I'll spend a Sunday on the question of purity, too. Because we've got so much of this loose sex affair on all hands, especially in the young people. All that thing is being aggravated today as they're now taking sex instruction into mixed classrooms in our public schools in the United States of America. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Oh, for the Christians in the older generation who were reared in homes and in churches where honesty was something to be honored and to be praised. We need it. And we have to have it if business is going to exist. We have to have it if hospitals will stand up. We have to have it if we're going to maintain the preaching of the Word of God in the land. But, beloved, God will honor your honesty. And you don't have to be a crook to exist and serve Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for the law of the Lord, which is perfect, the law of the Lord which converts the soul. And oh, how we thank Thee that we are a people who do delight in what Thou hast told us in the Bible. Father, may this book be put back again in our schools. Give great courage and wisdom to these young people as they press this great project, America. Oh, how we thank Thee that all over the country something is happening. And now, as we've seen these church leaders in Princeton back down and back away and say they have to consolidate and get their ideas down to the people in the pews of this country, oh God, wilt Thou quicken our pace? And may we reach the people of this country with the Word of God. Give us a great return to Thy truth. Give us some theological colleges and seminaries where the Word of God will not be torn to pieces, but where the Word of God will be faithfully defended. And oh, Thou hast told us that Thou wouldst judge the earth again in righteousness. We know that the hearts of men were filled with all manner of ungodliness, and Thou didst destroy the world in Noah's day. And now, as we see the unrighteousness and the wickedness even moving up into very high places in our life as a people, Father, we ask that we shall be brought under the conviction of sin, and that we shall return again to Thy truth, to Thy Son. And may we hear the apostle say, finally, brethren, for Christ's sake, amen. Hymn number 143, Rejoice, the Lord is King. 143.